presented by Invest in Our Land.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Thursday, May 23rd. The big news on Capitol Hill last night, Senator Rick Scott is throwing his hat into the ring for Senate GOP leader, which surprises just about no one. Scott, you'll recall, ran against Mitch McConnell at the beginning of this Congress, and he won the support of only a handful of conservatives. Generally speaking, he's not super popular with his colleagues who view Scott as too Trumpian and actually blame him for Republicans' inability to flip the Senate last cycle. He also scares some of his more pragmatic-minded colleagues with ideas about playing chicken with the debt ceiling or trying to land some sort of concessions on government funding, which often provoke shutdown showdowns. His best shot at getting this job? If Trump wins election. The former president loves him. I mean, he was one of the first lawmakers who actually showed up in New York to support him in the hush money trial. He's close with Susie Wiles, who is one of Trump's most trusted campaign aides. And Trump has actually asked him to run for this job before. The question I have is, if Trump backs him for this job, will senators fall in line? Remember, electing a Senate Republican leader is a secret ballot, so technically Republicans won't have to say who they're voting for publicly. We could also look at this as a potential ploy to win concessions from whoever is going to be the next leader. We saw House Republicans do something similar with Kevin McCarthy, with people like Matt Gaetz, haggling with McCarthy for weeks to try to get certain wins in order for him to win the gavel. Maybe Scott and his allies want that. Starting today, House Republicans are bowling forward with a pair of election integrity votes favored by the king of election denialism himself. Yes, former President Donald Trump. Number one, on the floor today, lawmakers are going to vote to curb a 2022 DC law that allows non-citizens to vote in local elections. And then in the House Administration Committee, lawmakers will mark up legislation that basically mandates proof of citizenship to register to vote in any state around the country. This is a proposal that Speaker Mike Johnson vowed to bring to the floor in a joint press conference last month with Trump in Mar-a-Lago. To Democrats, not only is this latter bill a solution in search of a problem, by the way, it's already illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections, but they see it as part of a more insidious effort. In their view, House Republicans are working hand in hand with Trump to sort of lay the groundwork to repeat the 2020 Stop the Steal campaign, that this is basically them spinning this narrative that the election is potentially rigged should Trump lose this fall or House Republicans lose the chamber. What's more, there's actually no proof that this is a serious issue that has influenced election results in the past. And both liberal and conservative think tanks have said this. When I caught up with House Administration Chairman Brian Stile about this on the Capitol steps last night, he cited a nearly three-decade-old House investigation into a 1998 congressional race. He said back then, an investigation by the House found more than 600 non-citizens were found to have actually voted in that election. But again, this is from nearly 30 years ago, and that's one reason why Democratic leaders, particularly those in the DCCC, are feeling so bullish that they're gearing up to attack swing district Republicans for taking a vote on this matter. They're trying to lump them in with MAGA extreme proponents of the big lie, and will be putting out press releases blasting them today. I should also note that some moderate Republicans aren't so sure that Johnson's play call to bring this sort of nationwide proof of citizenship bill to the floor was actually a good idea. Some feel that the speaker actually jumped the gun. They're not even sure that they have the votes to pass this. And we've already heard from one centrist GOP lawmaker, Don Bacon of Nebraska, who's still on the fence on this issue. He said that elections issues under the Constitution are supposed to be left up to the states. So do they really have a place here? He's not sure. But we should also talk about the flip side of all of this, right? Republicans note that requiring proof of citizenship to vote is actually quite popular with the public, and they're not wrong on that. Stile also argued that the margins in elections these days have become very, very slim. I mean, hell, Marriott Miller Meeks only won by 6 votes a few years ago, if you remember that. And number two, given that non-citizens are being encouraged by liberal municipalities to actually sign up to vote in their own local elections, proof of identification, he argues, is not unreasonable. At the very least, Republicans feel extremely confident about the floor vote today, which specifically rules back non-citizen voting in the nation's capital. Even Democrats are privately telling me that this is a tough vote for them, and they expect several dozen of their frontliners to back the GOP bill, especially given public perceptions of non-citizens voting, even in local elections. It's not very popular. Meanwhile, political games are afoot here. Expect Republicans to conflate these two votes and argue that there's not really a distinction between them. They're going to be warning publicly that since Democrats are not willing to block DC from allowing non-citizens to vote, that Democrats next, in a few months, in a few years, are going to be wanting non-citizens to vote in federal elections. Now, Democrats deny this, but this is politics, so watch for the GOP spin. And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and the House are in. The Senate will vote on a motion to invoke cloture, on a motion to proceed to this bipartisan border bill, which, as we all know, is gonna die. And this morning, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden will welcome the President of Kenya and the First Lady of Kenya in an official arrival ceremony. Throughout the rest of the day, Biden and the President of Kenya will participate in a bilateral summit and a joint press conference. In the evening, the Bidens host the President of Kenya for a state dinner. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.